Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 4, A Life Earned. And guys, we have a very special guest in studio with us tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, guys!
I don't know if you had to say I was a special guest. I feel like I'm like a panel regular, like I'm here all the time, but that was nice.
Taron, not everything is about you. For those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see that Jesse is back in studio.
I'm back. I'm no longer sick. Well, I am, but not the rest.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Him coming back. I've been here. I'm here. Like, how come I don't get
I've
credit
been here
for that?
Every week.
Just wait till I get
you
my Jesse hat.
Love Sonara's balls as much as I do.
I don't think anyone does.
I don't think anyone's loved anything more than you love Sonara's balls.
That's an accurate statement.
That is. I don't think truer words have ever been spoken. Yeah. But hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of our after show. We're talking about A Life Earned tonight. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
To his left, Taron.
As Megan introduced me, I'm the special, very good-looking guest today at I Am Taron. All across social atmosphere at I Am Taron, literally because I am Taron.
So handsome. And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You find me all across social media at that Zach Wilson.
Sporting an awesome Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sweater, BT Doves.
It's blocked by my computer.
That's what we're using the word now? Awesome, awesome, and nerdy are just interchangeable?
Right.
Okay.
It can be both.
It
yeah.
can be both.
It's at least one of those things.
Welcome to our nerdy podcast.
I know, this might shock you.
Why am I here?
We're all nerds here.
Fucking your Arthur Dent get up. Yeah. Like, we get it.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel for those of you live tweeting along with us. And guys, in studio, we have a very, very special guest. Joining us is Cassius himself, Dominic Reigns.
Well, hello.
Woo!
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
My
Thank you
favorite.
For having me. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here, man. No, I appreciate it. This is he's
not too long of a drive.
The basic, you're the antagonist of the whole season, and we get to try to probe him.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you guys have been able to tell, but Taron is absolutely in love with the character of Cassius.
Which worked out because I'm in love with him in real life. Like, that is my good friend. You know, I was just like, we're this family. I was watching it, and I'm like, yo, is this can't be my fam. This cannot be my fam. Like, that's impossible. We all remember that.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. What?
And Taron was walking up and down the aisles.
I got that message from you, and I was like, oh, he watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, that's awesome.
You would have never expected me to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, I didn't know you would. Like, I get love from you when I pop up on a film here and there, but I didn't expect to, like, yo, you're doing great on the show. Oh, Taron watches the show.
Let me explain. Dominic does these intense acting dramas that are acclaimed, and he gets true notoriety for his acting ability.
Oh, you're generous, man.
No, that's not generous. That's actually variety. So it wasn't my, that's not my opinion. That's like Burning Country. He did The Fixer. James Franco loves you. I mean, you've done a lot of things. So I'm used to that side of him. And it's never with makeup. And it's always just him playing like this Afghan war journalist or this soldier who lost a leg. Just random intense drama things, right? So I'm like looking, it's like, no, this blue Cree cannot be Dominic. And it's Dominic, and you show true acting ability on this show as well.
Yeah.
Especially if you know the real him, nothing like it. Because I'm a Cassius fan.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm really happy you were able to come in for this one because we got some juicy stuff with Cassius.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like
glad
even,
I could be here.
Yeah. Even just starting right out of the gate, the cold open is this really unsettling interrogation scene. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like getting to film, like, a couple really intense interrogation scenes for this episode? Because the first one's with Daisy, and then we have this extended scene with Daisy and Gemma.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, huge shout-out to the writers, man. They really kept this part juicy. And you don't know. You know, you get the audition, and they kind of have an idea of where they want to go. You come in there, you do something, you hope they like you, they don't fire you after the first episode. And slowly but surely, they kept working it. And, you know, they gave me a lot of room to play, and everybody, Jed and Marisa and Jeffrey, they...
You're on first name basis with everyone, huh? Nice.
Well, I mean, you spent enough time, hopefully. I mean, but they're great. I mean, very collaborative. What an incredible crew of people to work with. But, yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing. Here's this kind of Cree, and we were kind of breaking him down at the beginning, where it was just kind of like, here's this dude been living on a rock for so long. You know, what's that like, you know, to... I mean, outside of the whole Cree universe, and
I mean, I must imagine it's something like living in Alabama, right? It's
I mean, to a degree, maybe. I haven't been to Alabama, but the idea that he's a very isolated individual and lives his life kind of on the outskirts of everything, and finds humans to be repulsive but interesting at the same time, and has spent a good deal of and he's Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers right now, but he finds himself kind of both intrigued in order to, without going into it, in order, he has his own MO, mm-hmm. and that you'll find out more and more about that. But all of what you're seeing in the interrogation scene, it's both a part of his MO, but also a prying into understanding more of something very bittersweet for him. You know what I mean? Something that he loves so dearly, being human beings. He wants to be a part. He wants that, and at the same time is repulsed by that.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like that. Remember that opening scene with Gemma, and I believe it was in the second episode where he was. He uses the line inelegant, and I also love the way the writers, like I just got a lot of wordplay. It was mouthfuls and mouthfuls, but it was very kind of had this Shakespearean kind of essence to it. And I mean, sometimes when you're going home late night and I have to be up because I used to have to be in the and makeup by 4:30 a.m.
Oh goodness!
Oh, so you know, if the night before. By the time we wrapped and I got out of makeup and got home, got to bed, it wouldn't be somewhere like close to like midnight. I couldn't fall asleep till like 1 or 2, and I'd be up like an hour later. So sometimes it was I felt like I had went out and drank for.
So those dark patches under
the eyes, they were actually just my dark patches.
Makeup keeps trying to cover it up, but it just
It was originally going to be the Sonara color palette with the lighter eyes, but they're like, "Ooh, that's not working."
It was, and we went through a couple that there was. We had a little bit of fun getting to Cassius's look, and I believe this week actually they're going to release a the term escapes me. Time lapse photography.
Oh, cool. Oh wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, of the second I get in. All the way to the moment I finish everything.
Well, I hope you post that on your Facebook.
I will. Yeah. As soon as I know, I'll make sure to pass it on to you guys. But it was a lot of fun doing it. So
the chat's definitely interested because I think the reaction from them was just entirely like, "That's what he looks like." Genuine surprise. I think now they're like, "Oh, he looks like Poe Dameron."
Oh wow, yeah, Oscar, right?
But the chat is curious. Had you seen S.H.I.E.L.D. before you started? Before you got cast on the show?
Not to offend anybody, no. I mean, I just feel like we live in a day and age where there's a new show coming out every day, and not that I didn't want to. My biggest regret, though, was after I got the part, I did watch a couple of episodes, but my biggest regret was that, and I ended up loving these two films. I didn't end up watching Guardians of the Galaxy until like, well, I was actually about to give something away, and I'm not going to say it, but I didn't end up watching Guardians of the Galaxy till way later, and I wish I would have watched that like right at the beginning, because I would have gotten a little bit more insight about the Kree world. But in a way, it was kind of nice, because it was kind of like I went and researched the Kree world within Marvel. Now there's some discrepancies here and there, which were, you know, having
lots of different continuities.
Yeah, completely. And I just kind of wanted to give my own take on it. And I knew, you know, you have Marvel there, you have the creators, the writers, and they're all keeping you in line. But to go back to your question about the interrogation scenes, it was just like, it was mouthwatering. You know what I mean? You know, it's just kind of like it was a playground for me. You know what I mean? Those specific moments where I got to, and I use this this word loosely, because I got to, it was a luxury for me to be able to just enjoy myself with those specific moments, because I knew that they were going to chop that up in editing and do what they need to do with it. But it was a combination of being able to both say the lines and digest them at the same time, and not just let it just flow out. I think he's very, very self-involved. he's a narcissist, you know what I mean? So there's a part of him that prides himself on what he's saying. He enjoys, like, I feel like there could be like this, like a meme or something where, like, you want to torture someone, just have Cassius just literally be above you saying the same thing over and over and over again, and just drive you mad. But that's what it was like, you know. He's driven himself mad in this kind of world he's created for himself.
Well, you also get to be sinister in the silence as well. Like the most intimidating part of the entire scene for me is when he steps in between both of them so that Gemma can't read Daisy's lips.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't say anything, you just stand in between them.
Yeah.
And it's such good, like, show don't tell.
Right. Because
he could have easily said, like, I'm going to stand in between you.
Yeah.
Instead, he just does it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. We're a fantastic director of that episode, Stan Brooks, who really, again, he. And all the directors I got the chance to work with, and the creators of the show, the writers, they all gave me a lot of freedom. And it doesn't always work that way, but I think that was kind of the territory when it came with Cassius.
Mm-hmm.
We were all trying to figure it out as it started. You know what I mean? We didn't know if this thing was going to fall flat on its face, or it was really like one of those, we're going to go for it and see what happens. But that also required a lot. It needed space. It needed time to breathe. You know what I mean? I remember Jed at one point telling me this was, you know, of all the things that are happening in and throughout these episodes, Cassius is the only time, is one of the few places that we pop up that we're allowing it to breathe. Otherwise, you guys know the show, it moves. You know what I mean? So it was trying not to. It was allowing myself to digest what was happening and then not, you know, milking it too much.
Was when you were initially auditioning, because, like, one of the things I really enjoy about the character is his physical mannerisms and how he moves across the screen. And so I'm wondering, since they gave you a lot of freedom with that particular role, how did you kind of pick up on, like, what body movements would fit this character?
Yeah. Well, funny enough, when I got the call to do this, and, you know, my representative sent me kind of like, it was literally a one sentence breakdown of what they were looking for, because I think they were still figuring it out, but it just said David Bowie.
Evil David Bowie.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly.
David Bowie's not evil enough.
Whoa. Excuse you. You watch yourself, Taron.
Taron with a heel turn in the middle of the podcast.
I have a very important question, and
sure.
It goes to play, especially with your role being so close to the cast and becoming very regular. And, of course, the arc around the storyline really revolves around you and your villainy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Daisy, the character of Daisy, would ever date me? And here's the thing. Like, do you feel that she would ever go for a me? You know, because it's just my hope.
Wait, are you talking about the character, or are you talking about Chloe Bennett?
There's no difference in my mind.
I have no idea.
Okay, I was just asking.
You are a charming man. You are a handsome man.
I don't want to give away any spoilers, so we'll let that remain
it
to be seen.
It would be her loss.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, his main interaction with Daisy is capturing her and just like
threatening her and her friend's face.
Selling her off into slavery.
Sounds like a relationship to me. All I'm saying is.
Jeez.
Okay. All right.
You're going to get us into trouble one of these days.
Me? No. R. Kelly? Maybe. It's just interesting with you and
Tune in next week when we have special guest R. Kelly.
When we have special guest the police as they arrest me for threatening Chloe Bennett. But let's go to the villain that you are.
Yeah.
Cassius is possibly a tormented soul himself. And it's something that comes across because you're not just the bad guy, you're a tormented bad guy who's been slighted for whatever reason, which we don't know yet, yourself.
Well, you're touching on something that is slowly going to unravel in the weeks ahead. And what was the question, though?
The question goes to, did you know that Cassius was a tormented soul when you started? Or is this something that grew as the episode and their love for your character grew?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I did. I knew a few things. I knew. Again, I'm not going to go into too much of it because I rather all that just
unravel.
Itself. But I knew that he had been living on this rock for quite some time. And he was ultimately trying to get off of it, as you guys saw and heard with a few things that went on in this last episode. And I just started to, you kind of try to figure out your own. I mean, they may have a whole nother storyline for you, but you as an actor need to make sense of everything. You know what I mean? So a big part of that was like, all right, where do I... How do I find the commonalities between me and this guy? And a lot of that had to do with this feeling of not fitting in. This feeling of...
Interesting.
Of like... especially when I was younger, like wanting to be respected, wanting validation, you know, wanting to be told I was enough. And then all these things that kind of spur up inside as a result of that, you know what I mean? The bitterness and the anger and this kind of like self-hatred that kind of came up from it. And it was kind of what started to become the fuel of this thing. And then when I started to get scripts in and have conversations with some of the other writers, I was like, and they started to tell me where the taking it, I was like, oh my god, this makes so much sense.
Interesting.
Oh, this is exactly, okay, this is perfect. This is, makes absolute, and they did just an incredible job. I mean, I was really, I should say more surprised than impressed, because it's impressive, but I would expect nothing less, because they're so fantastic at their jobs, but it was so lovely to see how where I had started this thing and what I had in mind was kind of fusing, you know, with what they were coming up with. It was such a beautiful collaborative process and all that. I don't know if it answered the question properly, but...
Well, answered my question.
Yeah, that's
well,
what I...
Sounds like Daisy's going to date me. That's what I got out of what you said. By the
way. He completely tuned out what you were saying, and he's saying, like, so you're saying there's a chance.
I felt like that's what he said.
Well, on the writing thing, just real quick, the process when you're acting on the show, are scripts locked, or are you getting pages day of, in the middle of the day, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the night before, maybe the day. It was one instance where I got it the day of, but, you know, that was just a few word, you know, just to... And a lot of that had to do with, like, the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with... like, that's just a few things that they had to get right in line with, like, Guardians and, you know, other future, you know.
Yeah, it's... That's a challenge the show has always had, is, like, it wants to tell its own story, but also still has to fall under the umbrella of how closely it's tied with the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's always an interesting challenge for the show, but I think Completely. They take it in stride. Go ahead.
With the pages, like, were you given... Because we haven't really gotten his backstory yet. Did you get that before you started filming? Like,
I did a little bit. I did, you know, I got on the phone with Jed and Jeffrey, and we kind of just, they just started rapping to me about like all these different ideas that they had, and it was, you know, it was a little all over the place, but it still, it was like a lot of, it was a lot of meat, and it, we were just kind of, you know, I was just finding out ways to bring it all together. And you know, there was, just like I was saying, someone who came from a family who was very wealthy, very well off, and you know, like a monarchy, you know what I mean? And he was, he had his, a very certain relationship with his family, and for certain reasons.
Fell from grace.
You don't. Yeah, without, have to share.
Yeah, no without spoilers.
Going, yeah. Hey guys, don't ruin this for the rest of us.
You don't want to get in trouble.
Let's not interrupt our guest. Well, what were you going to say that was going to give it away?
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's very evident, you know, a couple episodes in, that he, it's lonely at the top, but he's in like this very interesting position where he's at the top of
the
where
bottom.
He's, yeah,
of his own
top
heap.
Of the bottom.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's this weird combination of being feared and respected by the immediate people around
That's
him.
That's how I
and
feel.
And being disrespected by literally everybody else.
He's literally been spinning a web for a very long time, and now he's just caught in his own web.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what's happened with him. And we're just picking up basically where things, where he his hopes are and his desires are coming to, and at the same time,
What's it like as an actor to like join a Marvel show where like you realize that there's a much bigger universe at play, and there are people, like there are all of these fans who, like, your character isn't in the Marvel world, but now he's a part of it, and like a part of this kind of fan base where stories that get told. Like, he could be a part of a comic book eventually, or something like that.
You're going,
like,
to be a Wikipedia page for sure.
Yeah. So, like, what does that feel like when you get a job like that where it's like this much bigger universe?
To be completely honest with you, I never thought about that once.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't want to. I wouldn't allow myself to. In fact, I just wanted to get home to my wife. That's ultimately what it was. Just to come there and do my job and leave. If I feel like if I would have thought about it, I would have gotten in my own way, and I would have gotten in the way of whatever was unraveling with Cassius.
That's fair, because you mentioned not getting to see Guardians of the Galaxy until a little bit later.
Yeah.
If you had seen it earlier, do you feel like maybe you would have, like, Ronan's performance would have influenced what
it
you created?
It definitely could have. And at first I was like, oh man, I could have known more about the Kree world. But wait a minute, I did read about it, and if I would have seen it, then, you know, this and that. So, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Whenever you get an audition for like a remake of something, you know, and you haven't seen it, it's like, oh, I'm not going to look at it. You know what I mean? Or if you go on stage to do like an old Tennessee Williams play, you know, hopefully you haven't seen the Brando version or whoever actor, whatever actor.
Because it influences you.
Absolutely. It could influence you. And I hope I'm in a different place of, you know, my career craft, whatever you want to call it, where I feel a little more comfortable, and I enjoy failure more now than I ever have. You know, it's kind of like you have to have it. It's like there was a lot of failure with Cassius in my experience with this part, in order to get to where it needed to go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of like coming, like feeling things that I didn't like. You know, especially with humiliation. Like that was a big part of like this process, and that's one of those rare I don't want to call qualities, but one of those rare feelings that you hope to stay away from, both as an actor, as a human being. But it was one I was learning to embrace very, very earlier on with this process. So go on a tangent here, but I think the best part of this was staying away from any idea of, oh, Marvel,
Mm-hmm. Oh, and notions.
Yeah, and even when, like, you know, people would say things, I'd be like, that's none of my business. That has nothing to do with me. And moving on, I need to get home. I was, like, right in the middle of this, actually. I was, I got married. So I was, like, literally, I remember my wedding was on Saturday, but like family was rolling in on Wednesday, and I remember for the like one of the dinners beforehand, I was coming in like wiping off blue off my face.
going in arrest development, blue on the walls.
Yes, exactly.
They came in from Texas,
all over actually. Yeah, Texas, North Carolina.
He's a country boy.
Well, yeah. A big component of this episode is finding out that Cassius's plan is, now that he has the means to potentially get out of this situation, is to essentially burn everything to the ground behind him once he's gone. And obviously you know more than we do about it, but when you got that part of the script, when you're like, what did you think about this character and being like, oh, but... Huh, like he wants to just burn it all to the ground as soon as he leaves? Did that surprise you in any way?
No, not at all. You know, I think there's it was like this sweet balance between like a nihilism and his own self-preservation, and it was an interesting dance throughout the process of allowing myself to have like be 1 foot in and then 1 foot out, and through these fantastic cast of actors who also helped me understand a little bit more about what I was doing and where I was going and my relationship to it all. And I don't know if that answers your question.
It'll
be interesting to see, like, so him leaving at the, like, leaving, like, theoretically he could just leave and not cause the human race to go into extinction.
Wouldn't be as fun.
But what do you guys think it is that he's like he needs to destroy here? Like, do you think that this would be what he's been doing is unacceptable to the bigger Kree Empire? Or
no, it has to do with his. It's unacceptable to him. So
I think it's
you
all
would
vanity.
Like to get rid of that as if it never existed.
Yeah, it represents a part of his life.
People do that often. Sometimes people do that with children.
The telepath in this episode said that the word was shame.
Yeah.
He's ashamed of being here. So as soon as he has the means to leave, it makes sense. Destroy it all. Yeah.
Well, there you go. You just touched on the most important theme that is like being pushed down by Kasai's. Shame. I completely forgot that came up in this episode.
Yeah.
But that's ultimately what I was going to say. That was kind of that is one of the biggest themes of who he is. That's his kryptonite.
Ooh, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. I like that. But one
that's a very DC way of putting it.
I know.
Sorry, we're going to need something a little bit more on brand.
I'd just like to point out that the telepath in that scene. also said that they were growing meat. And then later in the episode, we find they're growing babies. And I don't want to put two and two together. But.
Oh, no!
I didn't think of that either.
That's what you're saying. That's the logic you're going with,
well,
right?
Said,
the
babies
just, are beef?
He just said meat. He did not say a specific type of meat.
So that's right. They could be eating babies. I didn't even think of that.
He just said.
Okay, well, remember when. Just started off saying, I'm still sick. That's what he meant.
Yeah.
His twisted mind. I would assume we grow meat. We grow, you know, but not probably in the same way. I don't. I hope.
I'm just saying,
man, are they eating babies?
I'm just, soiling greenest people, man.
I'm just saying, I hope they clean the equipment between the things they grow.
I totally thought you were going in a different direction with this, because we spent the entire episode wondering what this telepathic inhuman's name was.
Oh, yeah, we don't.
And then we looked it up on IMDb, and His name is Ben.
Very anticlimactic, by the way. I thought it was going to be Xavier McTaggart.
Javier.
McTaggart, but I was wrong.
Professor Y.
It's just Ben. Do you guys feel like Ben and Daisy have something going on? Because
a little bit. There's a little bit. But okay. Again,
Daisy, I'll forgive you.
Well, you know, she's on the rebound from Deke. Yeah. He betrayed her, so she's like, not interested. Well, hey, how are you?
He's going to get real close to her because he can just be right inside her head.
Okay, let's move on.
He knows what she needs better than you would, Tron.
Let's not go all what women want.
Tron just needs to go through.
Let's go back to eating babies.
You know where we should go is there's another character that is very close with Cassius who we don't know a whole lot about. But in this episode, we get a fantastic scene where Sonara and May fight.
Yeah.
There's a showdown. Mm-hmm. And for everyone... when May shoos Coulson out of the room and we see Sonara come in, I think there was an audible, yes!
Well, I like how they're like, May, your leg isn't good from last time. It's like she had a pole through her leg.
She materialized around a pole.
Fine.
And she's like, don't worry about it. It's like, don't worry about it,
man. She did at least react to it. It's not like we ignored the fact that there's a hole in her leg this week.
Yeah, we kind of ignored it last time. Yeah. But this fight I thought was awesome. I do want to ask Tehran, because last week, Tehran's emotions regarding certain characters are a roller coaster. Sometimes he's like, I love you. And then he's like, I'm over it. And last week, he was over Sonara.
That's because she spoke. This week...
That's because she spoke.
She really didn't speak, and I was back on Sonara. Back on Sonara, especially after her strong fight with May, where May is a very strong opponent. And Sonara came out on top. Yes, May had a pole through her leg, blah, blah, blah. Excuses. Conor McGregor. But what it really came down to was Sonara and, the most important part, Sonara's balls. And
Sonara's balls were back in full force in this episode.
And if I understand correctly, you guys, even on set, had a hard time talking about Sonara's balls.
It was the center of many jokes. especially with all the current sexual harassment climate going on in Hollywood.
No one could say. What you called them, orbs?
I did. I can't speak for the rest of the crew.
But you called them Sonara's orbs.
For the most part, yeah.
Which actually, to me, sounds way dirtier.
We need another close-up of the balls in her hand.
Yeah, there was many instances like that. Yeah, great. So let's move to the next shot. I just want to get a close-up of Sonara's balls.
Can we get in tight on those balls, please?
Let's rack focus on the balls.
Let's get a slow push in on those balls, please.
Those powerful balls, and all you guys can just make jokes about. I would love to touch her balls. You guys are so immature.
What were those balls made of? Horrible.
They were the
steel balls.
Balls of steel is how.
I feel like we should just leave it.
The balls are adamantium.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, they're not. They're the
vibranium balls.
Ooh, vibranium.
You have to pay extra.
I like that. Vibranium.
They're vibranium balls. So Sonara wins that fight with May.
She does.
But what happens to May? And that's why I think that secretly Sonara helps May.
I think that when
Daisy, who her mystery opponent is going to be, instead of another Inhuman, it's going to be May.
This is awesome, man. I love hearing you guys I know what's going to happen, and I just love hearing you guys throw out the possibilities of what's to come.
I always feel bad because we should have gotten you popcorn as we talk about our theories.
No, this is great.
Because there's a lot of foreshadowing of things to come. Yeah. Deke getting in prison and it being the voice of Deke's father on the transmission.
Yeah.
Mysterious. I mean, but let's not even get into Fritz coming back. I'm deking it up right now. Deke gets locked up. He's in the room. And
yeah, he gets found out when they realize that Daisy was captured a day earlier.
Yeah.
And so like they're like, okay, cool, you're gonna tell us the truth. And he has just such a punchable face, everyone.
Gets punched a lot.
I don't know why. I actually think they're mean to Deke. Deke has been nothing but as kind as possible to a group
of
strangers.
Friend captured.
I'm so sorry.
For
he
personal
got their
gain.
He got their friend captured who was threatening the rest of the entire human race. Who. A group of people who he does not know, by the way. He's only known them for like a week. Yeah. He has no explicit loyalty to them whatsoever. And Deke has been working a system, and he knows the system, and has been able to stay out of trouble and shaking and moving. He's a hustler. And he did what she asked, got him close to Cassius, and
he's a space
there she
hustler.
Is. He is a space hustler.
A space scoundrel.
And he's got a good heart. Yeah, and if you remember,
Han Solo,
there's
if you
another
will.
Guy who's a space scoundrel, and he has two movies called Guardians of the Galaxy around his space scoundrelness.
Oh, they both have those helmets.
Who also has daddy issues.
Exactly.
They also never gave Deke a chance to really explain. He's like, listen, just let me explain what's happening.
No! Punch him in the face!
Punch him in the face because, you know, he's just helped
now,
you every
time. And then weld him into a room with a fashionable scarf.
Here's a question, though. Is his father actually alive, or is this, like, I don't know, maybe a pre-recorded message or
father's
a trick?
Alive.
Well, no, the message says, like, we haven't
heard from you
Yona.
In 3 days.
Yeah.
But,
I don't
know.
I don't think this is a Rousseau-style, like, lost message. Yeah.
Well, now that you said it like 16. That, it might be. I wasn't thinking that until you used Rousseau.
Or maybe the roaches have learned to mimic.
Wait,
human.
Which Rousseau are you guys talking about?
I'm talking about I Lost.
That's not
because she was just sending that message on a loop for 16 years.
Right.
So I don't think we're doing that because I don't know what narrative purpose it would serve.
Yeah.
But I could. But like forcing them to go on a mission to go back to the surface, which miraculously has atmosphere, I guess.
Yeah.
We had a guy in the comments talk to us about the science of it. And, yeah, basically it was like, I have no idea why there are clouds there.
And we also had someone in the chat say, guys, it's a TV show. Let them have clouds.
Okay, but can we internal
Wakanda
logic?
Wakanda science.
Yeah.
We'll go with Wakanda science.
Wakanda science. Yeah, I still like the idea that the only place left on Earth is Wakanda.
So do we. Yeah. By we, I mean the black people.
There could be an artificial atmosphere. Like, I'm willing to buy that there is an artificial atmosphere for some reason.
Sure.
And the Kree have the technology to do that.
Yeah.
We'll just have to figure out why.
That's fair.
And gravity.
But yeah, he's kind of been locked away now. We do have another aspect of the story that we should talk about, and that's Yo-Yo and Mac going on this mission to rough up a guy for Grill.
Oh my God, the feels.
Yeah.
Oh, such feels.
This was so upsetting because we've talked about it before. Mac is like the self-appointed conscience of the group. Whether they want him to be or not, he's the one usually saying, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't beat up people when we don't have to. Maybe we shouldn't murder people when it's not necessary.
Well, he did grow up in the suburbs, so...
Can I just quickly interject?
Absolutely.
And just say that Henry Simmons and Natalia Cordova Buckley are two of the coolest people I've ever met.
Wow, believe it.
They are two, like, absolute sweethearts.
Mm.
Such kind, amazing people.
Remind me of Chloe Bennett, yeah.
Oh, you do know who she is.
Daisy.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Anyway,
my pet name will be Chloe.
Yeah.
As you were saying. Yeah. I had to throw that in there.
Well, yeah, we ended a commercial break, and I think I was like, and back to the saddest show on TV. Because it was like after that scene where, like, Mac was talking about both versions of his two same dead daughter.
and his guilt because he had gotten, more or less gotten over the actual death of his baby girl.
Yeah.
But then in the framework, which wasn't real, had raised her and she had, you know, developed a personality and he had cared about her for what seemed like years. And then she disappeared in his arms as the world fell apart around him.
Mm.
And he's like, how messed up is that? That I feel worse about the little girl who wasn't real.
Yeah. But it was real to him. So he had these real memories, and he's been with her longer. And the other Hope he knew for, like, what, a month? Like,
she was a baby, but, like... Again, and he's...
A loss of child is a loss of child, but...
The benefit of time, too. Yeah. He had time to recover.
Exactly.
From that.
Mm. this. But he also said he got over it in a couple weeks. He had to pack herself up and kind of like go. But that was, it wasn't just ripped from him. There's time, there's support. There, he hasn't had time to digest anything with this new hope.
Yeah.
As soon as this hope died, he was on a spaceship finding roaches and then in the future. Like, literally the very next day. He was at a diner about to have pie. And then as soon as he's about to have pie, I'm like, yo, I can't believe Hope 2 died. And they're like,
2.0.
I'm sorry, buddy. You're going to have to do this again.
He's very much still in grieving.
Yeah.
Yes.
If May seemed exhausted when she was talking about it last year, imagine Max emotional exhaustion.
Yeah. Well, that, and like we see him snap, like when he's told like he wouldn't be a good father.
Oh.
He then beats the crap out of this guy.
People like you don't deserve to be a father.
And then he gets told that he belongs in the system. Like, they're glad that Mac is there to be this bruiser.
Yeah, it's just so funny, too, because Yo-Yo's playing, like, good cop, bad cop. And, like, I guess she's trying to be the good cop in this scenario. Like, hey, you better cooperate or, like, my friend here is going to rough you up. And that's when this guy goes off on Mac, who's not doing anything.
What episode, Dominic, what episode did you say that Kasai's becomes aware of all the other people on the station?
Hey, that's a spoiler. Stop
I'm just trying to get it. I'm just
trying to get your friend in trouble.
Okay. Okay.
I'm an actor. I don't need to be sued by those
Yeah, don't you know that, like, when people sign NDAs, like, Disney and Marvel put a chip in people's brains that'll explode if they give away too much information?
Oh, this is it. True. It happened. It's part of the contract.
That being said, hi to all the lawyers who are our new listeners to the show. Well, it's nice to see you.
When it comes to the concept of a chip, we saw the chip being able to turn on and off powers.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting because it was like it gave Kasai's ultimate control over their powers. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was interesting that Ben had hid his power, even though he had this idea of what was to be, like, oh, my family will get rewarded or I'll be really punished. He still not only helped Gemma and Daisy, he had a new power because that they didn't know.
For the what it was is that for the first time he had been able to read Cassius's mind and really see the bigger picture.
Did anyone think that chip was the same technology from Thor Ragnarok?
You know, it might be.
Yeah, because they had the same chip. Yeah, the same control, like, behind the ear like that with, like, the blue light.
Did it have the blue light? I don't remember it going up and down like that.
I feel like we can assume it's similar technology because this is in the future.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that the design would be different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like it's safe to assume it's the same tech.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen Ragnarok yet.
Oh, super good.
I can't wait to
see it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance, but I can't wait to see it.
It's a good one, for sure. And it takes a lot from that Guardians of the Galaxy aesthetic.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah. If you're a fan of that and like
such
the soundtrack.
Such a fan of that. Yeah. Such a fan of that.
If you guys haven't seen it already, go check out Thor Ragnarok.
Spoilers, there's a blue thing on people's necks.
Well, we are running short on time, so I think we should give off some really quick rapid-fire predictions and then spend the last couple minutes talking to you about working on S.H.I.E.L.D. and about some upcoming projects that you may have.
Sure.
So, guys, let's dig into some really quick rapid-fire predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, we got the biggest drop that we haven't talked about that Fitz showed up at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And then we're going to find out how the hell he got there.
And Hunter's back.
So exciting.
I missed him so much.
I just want Bobby.
I know.
Yeah. I'll take Hunter. I'm excited
she's
Hunter's
in a
back.
Galaxy far, far away.
I think it's going to be like one of those Lost in Time themes where like Fitz finds a way to go to the future, but it's not exact. So like he's been there for like a year or something like that and been able to like establish himself as this kind of
get himself
like,
a cool mask.
Yeah, he gets himself a cool robot mask. But like I think it's one of those things where like he's had to wait, like a Doctor Who episode where like he's had to wait for years or months or whatever for Gemma to show up, basically.
Which will be interesting to see him have to, because he'll have been the only one of them that's been able to have time to process all of the
what
stuff from
the framework
and being Fritz. Mm.
Yeah.
So he may whether he's like come to terms with that or not will be interesting. That'll be a big factor in what we
I feel like
we
the
get
next
from this Fitz.
I feel like the next episode will like cover that and like, luckily he's been given an assignment where he can just pour himself into that and not think about the genocide he committed.
Against luckily not real people.
Yeah.
But he did kill Mace. That's true. That's he did an kill Mace. That yeah. was a real person. Oops. But yeah, it'll be fun. And I think Hunter is going to be essential in terms of, like, processing all of that. So that'll be great.
Just happy to see Hunter.
I really hope Hunter's also in that crowd in Me the future. Because his commentary
and
on this future society would yeah. be spot on.
I feel like he'll thrive.
Tehran, any final thoughts?
Well, sure. I think Deke is going to be redeem himself. I think we need to give Deke a little more of a chance.
Hashtag also, give Deke a chance.
Yeah, I think we'll, of course, learn a lot more about Cassius's true plan and his motivation for being there, but I think we'll see a lot more of it in the situation. And I also think that the most important thing is that Daisy and I will be together and
and live happily ever after.
At least for a short while.
In the comments below, I want to hear the ship name for Tehran and Daisy.
This is too interesting of a rumor slash theory to not share. This is like bigger universe, like later in the season, but
go for it.
Dove Cameron has been cast on the show. We talked about a few episodes ago. And she's also is cast in the new Marvel animated show.
Ooh.
Is it Secret Warriors or is it
Hold on.
Something's...
The one with the most diverse
but it's
cast.
It's featuring Miss Marvel. It has Chloe Bennett playing Daisy.
Yeah,
it has Milana, what's the name? Who's playing? I can't pronounce her last name.
Vintrop.
Oh, Milana. Who's playing Squirrel Girl?
Oh,
playing
she in this?
Squirrel Girl.
No,
yeah. But she's going to be playing
animated show.
Squirrel Girl on the new Warrior show
so
in development.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's playing Squirrel Hero. Dove Cameron is playing Ghost Spider or Spider Gwen in the animated show.
Yes.
So if we go with the multiverse theory that was introduced a week ago, could Dove Cameron be showing up somehow as Spider Gwen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And that's insane.
That's super insane.
But now that you've said it, I want it.
Yeah. But the answer is no.
That would be crazy. I mean, but how is this helping me get Daisy?
That's insane, and I love it, and I want it, but it's a little too far out there. But I mean,
is it though?
We've made more insane claims. But,
we have made more insane claims.
But
you've
again,
made more insane claims.
We've made insane claims that have gotten ridiculously close.
That's
to the
true.
That's also
that's
true.
And Fang Foom at the bottom.
Actually,
of the
I kind of want to give props to everybody at this table because there were a couple things in this episode that we predicted from the start that like came to be. So well done, everybody at the table.
Sure.
But again, I think that does it for our predictions. So Dominic, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any upcoming...
To be here.
It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Is there any... Do you have any upcoming projects that you can tell us about?
Yeah, there's next fall, I think August, I have a film coming out called... I think they're still working on the name of it. Started out as Miles. I think it might have been changed to AXL, but Lakeshore Entertainment and Open Road Films are doing it. It'll be a nationwide release, and basically it's about this AI dog, artificially intelligent dog that was created by the military, and initially was to be used for for war, but that's not what the story is about. The story is about some high school kids. Two of which are in the motocross world, and one of them is kind of like the underdog in that world, and he kind of gets ousted and finds himself in this area where there's a lot of what?
This is a movie about a boy and his robot dog best friend.
I mean, I feel like you just said it
so
all.
So this is basically Lassie AI? Okay.
This is like Lassie AI.
You just made my heart sing.
Of course. Yeah. I feel like this is white people's future. I feel like that's what we're going for right now. Love dog, robot dog.
Yeah.
And I, like, part of me is like waiting for the turn where it turns into a horror movie, like it turns into like the Terminator.
No, it's just your kind of action adventure, and I'm the mad scientist that created it.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then yeah, like the young man, he ends up befriending the dog who escapes my compound, and they become friends, and slowly, you know, it unravels itself. I've used that word a lot today. Unravel.
Because a lot of things unravel.
And they're the two best friends that anyone could have.
The two best friends.
Oh, no.
Lassie AI.
Okay. All right.
Amazing.
I'm going to sit on the couch. You should sit here.
Listen. Listen, whenever they have Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Broadway.
Yeah.
It'll be you.
I can't wait to hear Cassius.
I'm throwing in my hat. Cassius on stage.
Like a Hamilton version.
How does a bastard orphan? Yes.
The Cree world. I will have your head.
Excellent.
Ooh, the silence moment on stage will be amazing.
That would be so cool.
Just slow walking it.
Yeah.
I can see Cassius being a very Phantom-esque figure on Broadway.
Yeah, sure.
That would be kind of dope.
That would be really
cool. And
if
there's a way to, like, where I move, but you don't see my feet.
So you can glide across.
So I can glide across.
As one of the people who paid money to see Spider-Man turn off the dark, I'm in.
Did you see that?
Like me.
Did you see it?
I did.
How
saw it on Broadway, like, right before it closed. It's so silly. Like,
okay.
It's...
Oh, insane.
It's silly, it's and that's coming from the guy wearing the Agents and S.H.I.E.L.D. cardigan.
Like, there's some good music in there. The best songs have nothing to do with Spider-Man. They just like happen to be U2 songs that they threw into a musical.
I can't believe it.
But it's just like, it's just, if you're a Spider-Man fan, it's just, you go in and be like, this is the, like, B movie, C movie level Spider-Man. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. Any other projects that you'd like to plug?
No, that's the extent of it, and then we'll see what the future holds. Outside of that,
cannot wait to see what else Cassius has coming.
Well, we have a lot of Cassius coming.
I'll post some pictures here and there on my Instagram.
Sweet.
Yeah,
can't wait for that time lapse. That's going to be real cool.
Oh, yeah, and that as well. I'll make sure to post all that.
Where can people go if they want to follow you to keep up with all of these different cool behind-the-scenes things and all of your upcoming projects?
Sure. I'll make sure now I do a better job at it. But on Instagram, at Dom Rains, and then no E in Rains, R-A-I-N-S. And then on Twitter, at Dominic Rains. I'll, again, try to make sure I... stay up to date on that, and then Dominic Rains on Facebook.
Awesome.
Well, again, cannot say thank you enough for coming.
Thank
on.
You all for having me. This
you.
Was
absolute
awesome.
Pleasure.
So cool to do this with you guys. Thank you. Thank you to Tehran.
Of course. The chat
family
loved you.
As always. Let's love. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Anytime
thank you
want to come back, man, you are more than welcome.
Oh, that's lovely.
As long as Cassius is on the show. One's going to have. But if Cassius is off the show and you don't bring Daisy, you're done. You're out of my family. You're gone. I'm just letting you know. Whatever.
Zach, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You guys can find me all over the internet at that Zach Wilson.
Tehran?
Find me in Daisy's arms.
Daisy's arms?
At I am Tehran, but I will be posting pictures of that. If that ever happens. Oh my. You guys laugh until one day I'm just holding. Oh,
yeah,
hey
one
guys,
day,
it's my girlfriend.
Like years from now, he and Chloe Bennett
know.
Are going to be like posting their marriage photos.
You
and
never
we're all going to
be
like,
be
we laughed
happy.
At him.
Hey, I learned from the best.
Hey, listen, if you do it, you got to wear that robe.
Of course. What else would I ever wear? Just the robe. Bathrobe heartthrob.
That's
in the
it.
Building.
Bathrobe heartthrob. I love that.
That's what it is. At I am Tehran all across social media.
Jesse?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. You can keep track of my comedy at Haymaker Comedy. That's my sketch team.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I do a bunch of stuff. Just follow me there, and you'll keep up with all
the
stuff.
Oh, it is important to note that the studios are not going to be open over the holidays. AfterBuzz as a whole is just, like, on break. Got to give the staff some time to sleep.
Yeah. So our scheduling for the next 2 weeks is going to be very interesting. It's not finalized yet. We will keep you guys posted as to when we are having our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like I said, we'll keep you all posted. Thank you guys so much for watching. Dominic, thank you again
Thank you all so much. Thank you guys. Thank you.
We will see you all next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Sonara's Ball!
See you later! Okay. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.